Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org. Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
So what can you do with garbage? For Tom Zaki, the question is, what can't you do with garbage? His company, TerraCycle, turns waste, like Skittles candy wrappers and Capri Sun juice pouches, into backpacks and pencil cases. And he's taken these green products into stores like Walmart and Home Depot. In his book, Revolution in a Bottle, How TerraCycle is Redefining Green Business, Zaki has a lot of ideas about what to do with garbage.
Well, there's three things you can do with garbage, or maybe even four. One is you can send it to a landfill. One is you can incinerate it. Europe does actually, half of all European garbage is burned, which is a little scary. And then the next thing you can do is recycle, where you melt it and you recover the polymer. And then the fourth, which is the very best, is upcycling, where you value every aspect of the waste. Take a chip bag. Upcycling a chip bag, you know, you could fold it and make it into a bracelet, weave it. You can make it into a fabric and sew it so that the logos are still present. That would be upcycling. Recycling would be melting the chip bag into a plastic and then making that into like a plastic cup or something of that sort. So the distinction is, in recycling, you're only valuing the polymer. In upcycling, you're valuing every aspect of the waste, the shape, the color, and the polymer.
Then you get to the next step, which is, how does it work? Where do you get the waste? And what do you do with it when you get it?
Absolutely. So the way our business works is, we first actually start with waste. It's not driven by you know, we want a product and then, hey, let's figure out what type of garbage we want to make it from. It's, we want to create a collection program at the scale of recycling for all relevant waste streams. So let's take an example. Take pens. So we'll go to the world's biggest pen companies, Bic and Sanford, and they fund us to create national collection programs, where basically you can go to our website, terracycle.net, and sign up for the pen collection program. That's one of 28 programs we have right now. And then you just take a cardboard box, you fill it up with any brand of pen, but a significant amount of pens. And then once the box is filled, you download a free UPS shipping label from our website and send it in. So the shipping is free. And then when we receive it, we make a donation of 2 cents for every piece of garbage you sent to us. So it's a way to raise money. Now, once your account is credited that money, you have to allocate it to any charity or any school in America. And then TerraCycle will pay those organizations directly. And that just repeats and repeats and repeats. And today we have over 10 million people in America sending us close to 10 to 20 million pieces of garbage a week. So it's become quite robust in scale.
So you're saying you start without the idea of what you're going to do with the waste. You look at a source for waste and the ability to collect it, and then go on to think what you're going to do?
Yeah, it's sort of reversed, you know, because usually you would think, okay, I want to make a product, and what are the right raw materials for that product? And then you go find the raw materials, whether they happen to be garbage or new raw materials. For us, we haven't found a waste stream that can't be solved. Every type of garbage we've ever been presented, everything from expired pills and pill packaging to food packaging to, you know, all sorts of different things, we have found solutions for. So what we're out there doing is trying to find companies, big brands, that are willing to finance these programs. So to give an example, I mean, these, you know, don't come cheap. Capri Sun, which is one of our largest programs, they fund the juice pouch collection program. Now, we get in close to 2 million juice pouches a week, and that, just the 2 cent donation on that is around $40,000 a week that the brand has to cover in the end. And so we're looking for major companies that are willing to take responsibility for their waste by funding programs like this. And what's amazing is that there's a huge number of companies out there willing to do that. And so that's why we're always driven by waste first. And then once we know what waste is coming in, then, you know, our obligation is to figure out what we can do with it, because if not, we'd be basically a landfill inventorying lots of garbage.
Sounds like a pretty good deal. You get the company to pay, you get people to do the collection, and then you're left with a product that you can use however you want.
The idea here is, you know, trying to make a win-win-win, where the consumer wins because you don't have to throw something out, which is typically a negative thing, and you can raise money, and it's pretty easy, basically as easy as recycling. The brands win because they move one of their, you know, a product that is totally non-recyclable. If a brand makes, let's say, Frito-Lay, if they make 1 billion chip bags a year, That means a billion chip bags end up in a landfill every year, at least before TerraCycle. Now there's a solution that's as easy as recycling, and that's a very big win for them. And then we win because we get free raw materials, and then we can make products that are super eco-friendly, made from garbage, and are not in any way premium price because our raw materials are garbage and relatively free.
You started, I understand, with something you called worm poop when you were still in school. Is that right? What was worm poop?
Well, worm poop, quite literally, is worm poop. But basically, what the real unique, this is how TerraCycle came to be. This was the inspiration. I'm originally from Canada and then moved down, went to Princeton for undergrad. And to be honest, my friends in Toronto, where we were living, we were all growing pot in our basement at the time. Canada's a little more relaxed with this sort of thing than down here. And the plants weren't really doing all that well. It's not an easy vocation. And so the plants ended up moving to Montreal because my friends, some of them got into school in McGill, and I came down to New Jersey, and it wasn't the best idea to bring them here. And they had a really hard time with them. And finally, the miracle was feeding the plants worm poop, which is organic waste fed to red worms, and the worms poop out worm poop. It's actually a very common thing that, you know, gardeners have done for hundreds of years, but that made the plants grow incredibly well. So I end up in Montreal my fall break freshman year and get obviously very inspired by, you know, how amazing worm poop is. And TerraCycle as a business started there. I ended up dropping out of school within 6 months, and TerraCycle was a worm poop company. We actually took liquid worm poop and packaged it in used soda bottles. As an ironic side note, we're the only company in the world to first reuse soda bottles for packaging, not melt them, but just refill them. And we're also the only company in the world to have licenses from both Coca-Cola and PepsiCo for packaging feces in their distinctive shape, which is, I think is a pretty cool goes to show you, right? And that's how it all began. You know, for the first 4 years of our business, we're 8 years old now, but for the first 4 years, it was all worm poop. We kept growing. Our sales kept growing very fast. And then we got challenged by, actually, the first two companies to join us was Clif Bar out of California, and then Honest Tea and Stonyfield. These are all eco brands, great American brands, and they all had something in common. Clif Bar had energy bar wrappers. Stonyfield Yogurt had yogurt tubs. Honest Tea had juice pouches, all three of these materials being non-recyclable. And so they said, hey, you guys have been really good about making products from waste. Can you solve these waste streams? And we did that. And then we invented the collection program, the Brigades. And from there, it just blew up around the world. It's been phenomenal.
You have to start with a company that cares about this, though, right? Because you're looking at pens that can go into the landfill. What does the company care about that? I mean, a PR problem, but they don't have to deal with it, do they?
No, you're right. Now, if you look at it from a global perspective, we're now in 8 countries around the world. I can tell you, going around the world, seeing everyone's recycling infrastructure, America is basically in the middle. We're sort of a B+, if you will, from a global recycling perspective. If you look at other countries, say even our neighbors, Canada, or, you know, in Europe, or even in Brazil, they're just passing or have passed packaging taxes where all companies are responsible to pay for their packaging and pay for that end-of-life problem. And these companies, these global multinationals, are really seeing this all over the world and want to solve for it in the places the taxes exist. But also, they're looking at it in the U.S. as a way to proactively solve for it. Because the big issue with packaging taxes, at least for these major companies, is that they have to pay for every piece of garbage produced. With TerraCycle, they pay for every piece of garbage collected, which is a very different way to look at that. And they see a very big win in solving for a problem that is so obvious, like their packaging.
So how green is this, really? I mean, what do you have to do with the waste you collect in order to upcycle it?
The way our model works is that the garbage comes in, and then it typically has to be cleaned. So there's a little cleaning process. It's all using, you know, eco-friendly materials. It's really not all that challenging for the environment. And then we look at how can we manipulate these waste streams. So as an example, take a Frito-Lay chip bag. One way to manipulate it is we can laminate multiple bags together and create a branded fabric, if you will. Basically looks like a chip bag but can hold a stitch. The second is we can shred and compress it into a board. Now, what's interesting, a lot of these waste streams already have intrinsic capabilities. So a chip bag already has a thin layer of glue on the inside and the outside, which means when you shred and compress it, you don't have to add any new materials like a glue or some sort of adhesive. The third manipulation is we can pelletize it into a plastic, and that can be injection molded and or thermoformed or any type of plastic process. And then the fourth manipulation is that we can actually make it into a textile. What happens from here is we then actually go to best-in-class manufacturing partners who then, you know, take the biggest backpack company in America. They then acquire the waste from us, and they're the ones who produce the backpack and sell it into Walmart under or Target or whatever major retailer under the TerraCycle brand. And in each of these cases, what we're doing is taking existing companies who have major products and major retailers and having them move away from using virgin materials and instead use garbage as the input for their product. And that allows us to get to very big scale quickly and have very big environmental impact in a very short period of time. If you look at from a carbon perspective, upcycling is typically 80% less carbon than the normal version of that same product. So a Capri Sun pencil case is 80% less carbon than a normal cotton pencil case. In plastics, if you take a chip bag and make it into a plastic polymer, you're typically seeing, say, 30 to 60% carbon savings. So either way, these are pretty substantial numbers, especially when you take them and multiply them on very big scales.
And, you know, I've read about recycled products that they can often only be recycled once, maybe twice. After that, there's literally, they say, nothing they can do with them anymore. Is that true for upcycled process as well?
Yes. Every time you take a material through a cycle, it will degrade. Plastics typically can get 5 or 10 cycles on them. There are some that have very few. But even in upcycling, so let's say you go and you have a product that we make that is upcycled, say that Capri Sun pencil case. At some point in time, that pencil case will die as well, and you won't want it anymore. You can put it back in our collection. We actually will ship it back to ourselves for free. And then we also give a donation again on the product. So if the pencil case is made from 6 pouches, you get a 12-cent donation as a way to encourage people sending the products back. But that pencil case will never be upcycled again. It'll then go into a recycling solution where we can granulize it and turn it into something like a plastic lumber. Now, if we get that plastic lumber back, then that can go into another piece of plastic lumber as long as we add in some what we call first cycle material so that you never get into that degradation problem that you were mentioning earlier.
Yeah. So you're not just deferring the eventual trip to the dump. You've really thought this through, and it's each time recycled or upcycled or redirected.
Yes. Now, with the one quid pro quo that the consumer has to participate or it doesn't work. If you go buy, you know, one of TerraCycle's products, it's your choice whether you send it to us. We make the system available. We make it free. But if you don't send it back and you put it in the landfill, that's something we cannot do anything about. So we really rely on the consumer to do the work, really, participating in this model.
In your book, you talk about something you call waste in nature. I guess that's pretty obvious. Do you compare what you do with what nature does in dealing with waste?
We try to copy what nature does. I think nature has solved for it perfectly. You know, in nature, garbage doesn't exist. The output of one system is not just a negative or a neutral, it's an entire positive to another system. Think of any natural system, and that's the case. In our system, it's a great irony because we have tremendous amount of output. We use things typically once and throw them out, and that output is treated as a negative. We actually pay to get rid of it. That's basically the definition of garbage, and it's just not natural, literally. And so what we try to do is emulate what nature has done and get as close to that as possible. I don't think we'll ever be as perfect as nature because we always are going to have to add energy and add new things to create conversions. But either way, the closer we can get to nature, the closer we can get to eliminating the entire concept of garbage.
TerraCycle plans to collect over 70 million Capri Sun pouches this year to make into things like pencil cases, lunch boxes, and messenger bags. Tom Zaki is founder and CEO of TerraCycle and author of Revolution in a Bottle, How TerraCycle is Redefining Green Business.